Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Crunch time!
Crunch time!
You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Crunch time!
Crunch time!
That's right. You are listening to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bull. It is Wednesday night. We appreciate you guys listening in. And Frank, thank you for cleaning my little section over here, but it's like a lake. I mean, there's all kinds of like fluids and
smells
like alcohol.
Just shut up and talk.
Smells like you've been hanging out over at the Peanut all day. So thank you for cleaning the area.
I cleaned your area. I disinfected your area.
And you disinfected with our CBD American Shaman disinfectant.
Yes, I
appreciate
I did.
That. And guys,
surface wash.
Remember, summer is here, Kansas City. So when you're hot and you're thirsty, nothing hits the spot like coconut water. Nothing hits the spot like the watermelon, the lime, all the great coconut waters. And guess what? I think Vince is going to tell us about a great deal that CBD American Shaman, all the American Shaman stores are going to give Kansas City. Frank, I'm going to give you a hint.
Okay.
This is something that I like to do when it's a hot summer day. And you and I are
afraid
sitting.
Afraid to find it. Because I remember you used to have a place in the Ozarks. I know you've gotten rid of that, but I'm afraid to find out what you did on hot summer days.
You and I are sitting at one of the resorts at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Oh, gosh. Swimming in their pools.
Swimming in their
with
pools.
Our 4,000 closest friends.
That's right. And I would buy you a drink. Because
yes.
I love to buy people drinks
there
in the summer.
Are. Sure.
Well, so does Vince Saunders. Vince. Thank you for coming on. It is a great pleasure to have you. Can you tell us about this wonderful deal that you guys have come up with at American Shaman for Kansas City this summer?
For Kansas City, we have a exclusive at all the American Shaman stores. We have both the coconut water and the watermelon water that are, of course, infused with 10 milligrams of nano CBD, free 4-packs, as while supplies last at all the stores.
Well, hold on. Repeat that again. It's not just one can. It's a free 4-pack?
It is a free 4-pack.
So if somebody is driving around right now and they are on State Line and they drive by your wonderful mom's place on 133rd and State Line, they could slam the brakes on right now and go in, or does it start tomorrow?
Theoretically, it's in the morning, but you could go in right now and get it.
So we say, hey, guys, just go in and say, Vince, I just heard him on Crunch Time. I want some of that beautiful, delicious, refreshing CBD-infused coconut water or watermelon water, and it's
That's
free.
Right.
It's free.
It is absolutely free, 100%.
So what's the deal?
No.
Why you guys, you guys are just, you have been so, so great to Kansas City, and I know Kansas City has been great to you. But
Absolutely.
You just decided, hey, you know what? Let's just buy a drink for Kansas City as we come out of this craziness.
That's right. Let's a little celebration, right? And they do mix well with cocktails if you would so choose. You know, I speak from experience. A little vodka in there makes it a delicious drink, but it's incredibly refreshing, low calories, and 10 milligrams of nano CBD.
And this has been going over terrifically, Vince. We're talking about Vince Saunders, of course, the CEO and founder, of course, of American Shaman. And the water has been getting more and more popular anyway. So this is just introducing more people to the product.
Absolutely. And that's it. You know, we really want to get it out of here. Here we are right at the beginning of summer. Everybody's just finally getting back out to be able to finally, obviously, enjoy their summer and get some refreshing drinks. We thought, what a way to kick off the anti-lockdown and summer, other than some great refreshing coconut water and watermelon.
Vince, how long will this promotion go on?
You know, it's until it runs out, and we have about 1,000 cans at every single store. So there's about, in Kansas City, roughly 40,000, 50,000 cans of free water sitting.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, so it'll be a little while. They don't have to rush in today. They can go in at their leisure. And don't forget, folks, when you're in there, if you've never been introduced to the American Shaman products, don't forget, Timmy and I have been talking about it for a long time, over a year now. We talk about the topical creams we both use. I use them on my hands. Tim uses them on his ankles and knees and everywhere else that's painful with him. And I also take the water soluble every morning. And, we just go from there. But introduce yourselves. Learn Gwinestore. You're going to get your free four-pack available at all the American Shaman stores. And there's over 40 in the metro. Go on in there. Get that. But go on and talk to the people there behind the counter.
They do a great job.
Who are so well informed about what else that American Shaman has to offer.
Yeah, don't be intimidated. Go on in there. And the other thing is, Vince, you and I, we were in Canton, Ohio, and you brought some of the original recipe, the CBD Night, and I tried
That's
it there.
Right.
I tried it there. It just didn't quite do it for me at that point. And then I said, I'm going to try it again. I tried it again about a month and a half later when you guys started putting it out on the shelves. Now I am addicted to it. It works like a charm. I don't know. Maybe I wasn't in the right mood. I'm not sure what it was, but I love it. It helps me sleep. I go right to sleep. I sleep like a baby. I used to wake up 3, 4, 5 times a night just for different reasons, from aches and pains and everything else. And
sure.
I know you can't claim that it helps the aches and pains, but I don't feel those. My arms used to fall asleep a bunch, and my hip would be bothering me. And this stuff has knocked me out, and it's great because there's no hangover in the morning.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The CBN is a product like no other. Yeah, I'm somebody who's never slept well. Kind of over the counter prescription, you name it, for sleep, and nothing worse. Like, that just puts you sleep naturally. You just get tired and you drift away and you wake up in 8 hours completely refreshed.
So you guys have done such a wonderful job, and once again, thank you for, we've said it before, with all the first responders and just all the hospitals, and now that the restaurants are opening up, and now that Kansas City's starting to roam around a little bit, I think it's just as important, if not more important, to make sure that you have your hand sanitizer and your hand wash for different restaurants and gyms and everything else. I work out over at Results. A good buddy of mine, Dave Sloshman, owns a place over there. He's got your he's got your wash in there. I use the hand sanitizer when I done doing an exercise, just throw some hand sanitizer on. So are you guys still producing the hand sanitizer? And tell us a little bit about how that process is going now that we're opening up. I think it's just as important, if not more important.
It really is. Speaking of different restaurants, we have a restaurant here we refer to as Shaman North. We usually have lunch at, and we give them our little 4-ounce bottles to put on the table, as well as gallons to refill them, and then the hypochlorous acid to clean the tables with. And I was there today, and none of the tables had them on there. And I'm like, what's up? Where's the hand sanitizer? He goes, brother, everybody walks out with it.
It's like having monogrammed beer glasses. All of a sudden, exactly. They're all missing because they pick them up and take them out of there, right?
Correct. That's why he's like, no, we can't. We have to keep them up here at the counter. They just disappear as soon as we put them out. I thought it was kind of funny. So, but yeah, no, we are aggressively making, literally tens of thousands of hand sanitizers a day. It's still at this point, and I'm expecting that to maybe climb as things continue to open back up. And then the hypochlorous acid, 120 times more powerful than bleach, but completely natural. The same thing your own white blood cells make to fight infection. So not only will it kill anything, the EPA recommends it for COVID specifically, but you could drink it.
Did you think at this point, as you go through all this, that, and I think we've talked about this in the past, that you will keep these two products, the hand sanitizer and the surface wash, in all the stores? You will keep producing this product just in general for people, even after the COVID-19 goes away?
Yeah, I would anticipate that both of these products continue, especially that hypochlorous acid, because it can sterilize any environment. As Timmy was saying, his gym including a meatpacking plant, right? I mean, your office, your home. Down here at the factory, we just have humidifiers in every room that we keep full of hypochlorous acid that we just keep it in there, and it just keeps the fog going all the time. Killing any kind of virus or bacteria that might be in the air as well as weighing on the surfaces. It's an amazing product.
Well, Vince, we have said it a million times, and we appreciate our partnership with you guys here with Crunch Time and 810 WHB. You guys have done a wonderful job for us, and now you've done a wonderful job for Kansas City. And I can't thank you enough. You know, with the hand sanitizer coming out, and I know you gave a bunch of that away. You're just so selfless. Now you're giving away the coconut waters and the watermelon waters. We appreciate all you do here, man. And it's a great Kansas City company helping Kansas City, which is a great town.
We appreciate all you guys doing over there in 810.
Well, we're going to continue to sing the praises of CBD, American Shaman, and all you guys do. And as the football season starts to progress, I have a feeling that CBD, American Shaman, hopefully with the Chiefs and high school sports and college sports around, you guys are going to be involved because you guys do such a wonderful job of being innovative, and we need innovative people and innovative companies to help us so we can all enjoy sports again.
Well, thanks so much, Tim.
All right.
All right, thanks, Vince.
Vince Saunders.
Thanks,
Vince, thank you so much for coming on. So if you guys didn't hear that as we started the show and you're driving around town, we are giving away CBD American Shaman sparkling waters. This coconut
in a watermelon.
And watermelon. Uh-huh. So you go in. It's not just one can. You're getting a four-pack, and it is delicious. It really is. It's great on ice, and you know, I have
to admit.
A little
gin, a little vodka, something in there.
I'm raising my hand right now. There's nothing. I watermelon, vodka.
That's it?
And
a little
bit
vodka,
of ice.
Watermelon.
Outstanding stuff. Very good stuff. And I think it's good for you while you drink it.
Yeah,
so,
well.
I mean, that's what I keep telling
you
myself.
Believe that. Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a lot better for you than just something else with the without the CBD in it. So.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't. Usually I'm not putting anything with my vodka. So it's good that I'm putting some of that in there, right? You've been with me when I have done that.
Yes, that's never a good thing.
Yes, it's not a good thing. No. But we do appreciate our friends at CBD America Shaman.
They're the best.
They really are. Yeah. What a great company. All right, Frank, I don't know if you heard last Friday. It was pretty interesting that Andy Reid did a press conference and talked about some things with the virtual schooling. And I thought it'd be interesting to bring up because, you know, I like to try to give you guys a little bit behind the scenes. You know, I've been in these installations. I know what they're doing. I know the process. And this is not an easy process when you're in the room, let alone doing it virtually.
Yeah, remote.
So I thought it was very interesting, the unique tools that they're using to install. The first thing they're doing, okay, is they're staying on the same installation schedule, which I think is very, very interesting. You know, I think as an organization, you either have to keep on rowing the boat, or you got to slow down, and the Chiefs have decided to keep rowing that boat and keep on putting in the installation and keep on doing what they usually do, which I think is a good sign.
Well, I do too, because they are all intact, and everybody they're talking to basically knows exactly what they're talking about. And they're trying to keep the young kids or get the young kids up to speed, the rookies. They're going to be the ones that are going to be hurt most by not being in camp and not having the OTAs and they're not having the mini camps, and they're not doing that when you're expecting some of these players to really contribute. Especially, you know, William Gay, the linebacker, that's a guy they really need. I mean, they don't need Hilaire as much as they need Gay because of the fact that they are, you know, they need that guy. That's where their weakest spot was last year. But remember, 20 to 22 players are coming back. All the coordinators are all the same. Coaches are the same, and the head coach is the same. And they're way ahead of everybody else, and they're not delaying their installations. They're going right after it and staying after it. So I think that's really important for them.
You know, so the first thing they have is the first couple of weeks, you usually do two installations, both run and pass, and then the next couple of weeks you start to go three installations, run and pass. So I went back and looked at my installation when I was with the Chiefs and the installation that we did when I was at KU with Charlie Weiss, which was a pro style. And basically what it does, it's broken down into zone runs and gap runs and then pass protections for the Chiefs. It was 20-21 protection. It was jet protection, which is basically a turn protection, 70 protection, which is when there's no backs in, and then you have some scat stuff. It also equates to no backs in. But the plays are put in not really by type of play. They're put in by formations. So the first formations you put in usually are out and out slot. Then you'll put a run, couple runs in, and a couple passes with that. And then you go 3-by-1 and 2-by-2. And then you go Detroit, which is basically adding a tight end attached. Then you go to goal line, and then you go to two-minute hurry-up, then you go to special situations, which are screens and draws and reverses and delays and those kind of things. And then throughout this process of installation, and once again, you're only putting two or three plays in each one of these packages or each one of these formations, because when you want to do formations because you want to keep the wide receivers interested, because if you just put runs in, the wide receivers wouldn't be very interested in it. You just put the passes in. Then, other than protections, the backs and the offensive linemen don't have too much to do with it. So you want to put in formations. So with all these different formations, 3-by-1, 2-by-2, Detroit, then you go goal line, you go two-minute hurry-up, you go special, then you go line of scrimmage, audibles, and then you put in situational football. So as the installations go, it's very, very slow in the summer. It probably you maybe take two or three days to put in a couple plays out of out and out slot, two or three days to put a couple plays out of 3-by-1 and 2-by-2. But as you go into training camp, this is all sped up exponentially, where it really put the whole offense in 5 days. So in 5 weeks, you'll put the whole offense in during the summer, but you'll do it in 5 days.
At preseason camp?
In preseason camp, mm-hmm. you'll put it in. But when you go to training camp, then you'll put it all in 5 days in every play. So obviously there's going to be some plays that you might add in with different game planning situations, but your offense is put in, or your defense is put in 5 days in training camp. So the head coaches have to understand that this is really, really a lot of work. And he talked about the rookies kind of going through this process. And Frank, I wanted to touch on it with you. So the rookies will start out with a one-on-one situation. So let's say there's two offensive linemen or three offensive linemen that are rookies. When you say one-on-one, those three rookies will start with the offensive line coach. That one running back may start with the running back coach. That one quarterback may start with the quarterback coach. Those three receivers may go. So when I say one-on-one, it's the rookies and just the coach. And then they'll go to the veterans will come in. So for an hour, it's the young guys. They kind of get introduced early. A lot of it is, hey, listen, this is how we call the plays in the huddle. This is how we call, you know, the different formations. This is how what we, you know, our gap or our holes in the offense go from 0 to 1 and then 2, 4, 6, 8 to, you know, 1, 3, 5, 7. So all that stuff will be put in while the veteran guys aren't there. And then the veteran guys come in for 2 hours. And they you know, they put the installation in, and then they'll watch film of the installation. So if you're putting in 16 to 17 stretch, you're going to watch 16 to 17 stretch plays that you ran during the year. And, you know,
just give them an idea against different defenses how this works.
Yeah,
right?
So then the coaches will ask some questions, and then the veteran guys will usually speak up. So then after that, there's a little bit of break, but the rookies now go back for another 2 hours. So I think he kind of let us in on the process.
Uh-huh.
The rookies, he said, listen, the things that we're concerned about right now is Coach Reed said, listen, we got to make sure that, you know, that they're not turning off their video, because we got to make sure they're awake.
That's exactly right. Falling asleep in meetings.
Make sure the camera's on. They want eye contact. And I'm just telling you, it is so hard. Now, these kids get it more than we do. This Zoom meetings and these classrooms online, we never had that stuff. And I was talking to some of the older coaches, from college. I was talking to actually a guy from Notre Dame, and he's like, man, it is so hard because we had to learn all this new technology. And I'm sure there's some coaches that are our age, mm-hmm. you know, not your age, but my age.
There's nobody my age anymore.
that are coaching, they weren't exposed to this stuff. So they got to learn all this stuff too. But the main thing that they're worried about is, Frank, because I've been in meetings and I've sat in meetings and I've coached in front of meetings, and the hard thing is to keep concentration for that long. So that's what concerns me more than anything else. When you're meeting for 5 hours,
anybody else out there, just imagine being in one class for 5 hours when you went to school. It's just ridiculous. And the sophistication, as you're listening to Tim run through his football parlance there, the way he's talking about, listen how sophisticated that is and how much goes into every little bit of everything they do. Because if he talks about formations and plays, you could have a formation and a play called, and all of a sudden the defense switches defenses. Okay, they jump out of something you were expecting, you move into something else. All of a sudden the center up front sees it, makes a call, the offensive linemen all hear him, and they know exactly now that this play has changed. or not changed, but the blocking scheme has changed because the defense has changed. The quarterback has to know. The running backs have to know. The wideouts have to know because now the coverages have changed. That's how sophisticated the professional game, and even a college game these days, and probably high school too. That's how sophisticated football has gotten.
When we come back, I'll talk to you a little bit about what the installation looks like because it Frank just hit it right on the head. You'll have the 4-3 defense maybe in the top box, but there's eight boxes on each side that break down to all kinds of different defenses from 4-2 to 34 to over, under, bare fronts, all these different things that you have to go through. So that's why it takes so long.
Right. Hey, and coming up a little later in the show, we're going to talk to Jay Collins, former Green Beret, 7th Special Forces Group. He's going to talk to us. He's one of the guys in charge of Operation Barbecue.
Unbelievable.
They're doing just an incredible job at helping everybody with this COVID-19 thing. They're always available for any kind of disaster relief, and now hey, COVID-19 has created a disaster, and they're right on the front lines here. We'll talk to him, too. He's an incredible person, so we're going to talk to him a little bit later in the show.
Really, only on Crunch Time. All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bohl having a great night with you guys right here on a Wednesday night. NASCAR is supposed to be next.
7 o'clock.
But it's got they a tropical
have some bad
storm
weather again. Yeah, they had bad weather last week too. So
hopefully they'll be able to get that race off. It just seems. I mean, I watched the golf. Did you watch the golf?
Yeah, it's been crappy May. May's been awful.
It's been awful. Terrible. And that golf. It was awful. But then it turned out actually entertaining. It is. It started out awful, and then it got.
You know, what makes me feel better. Makes me feel better about my golf game. When I see those two guys, I see those two great professional athletes. I'm not talking about Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. I'm talking about Brady and Manning, and they're both a 6 and 8 handicap. And their first two tee shots, you're saying, huh? Manning, they're Tigers in the woods with Manning or underneath the palm trees, Manning, getting just two club lengths out, good enough to get that thing back in play. They're all putting for pars, okay, on their first putt in the greens. I'm going, I don't feel so bad now. I don't feel so bad about my game so much anymore.
But
I know how nervous they are. I know how nervous they had to be.
I would be unbelievably nervous.
You could tell how nervous they were on the practice tee before they went and played, and they were doing those quick interviews with them, and it was pouring down rain, and they're doing interviews, and I don't think they weren't really listening to the interviewer. All they're doing, they're trying to figure out, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do off the first tee? It's just crazy. It was nuts.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It was great to watch it, though. It was great to watch those guys put in with a couple guys like Woods and Mickelson, but here's two great athletes that are great at their own sport. You would think, this doesn't bother me. There's no pressure on me here, but they felt the pressure. It was incredible.
Yeah, they did, and you know what? There's a lot of, to segue into what we were talking about, a lot of pressure on these coaches right now to get these guys ready because they've got to be firing on all cylinders if they're going to not see these guys really at all until training camp. And I don't think they're going to, Frank. I don't think so either. They may pop in, because
the coaches aren't even back yet.
The offices are not open over there.
Right, I know. The coaches are not back yet.
We had a little bit of an ambassador meeting, and we always meet the first Wednesday of the month, and was talking to the gals in charge, and she's like, I said, do you think we'll have an in-person meeting? Like, you know what, we've been kind of tabled until everybody's in there. We obviously are not going in.
You guys are gonna be the last ones in.
Yeah, we'll be the last ones in, and which is fine because we have some older guys that that we want to make sure that because it's kind of a weird mix because we have a bunch of young guys and a lot of our younger guys are out traveling and doing things, playing in golf tournaments and bouncing up and down and traveling a bunch even now. And then we have some older guys, so you just don't know. So you just got to be really, really careful with that. So they may not see these guys, but when you talk about this installation stuff, you're exactly right. There's just a lot of people say, well, you put two plays in. I mean, how hard can it be two plays? But in those two plays, there's about 15 to 20 different combinations of things that can happen in defenses that can be presented to you that you got to know. So that one play now turns into, if you just add it into a defensive front, turns into 14 plays.
Yeah, 14 possibilities.
Right.
Depending on the call.
Right.
At the time.
Because, in an over defense, my responsibility on, let's say, an outside zone is a lot different than my responsibility on under defense. On under defense, I have that nose tackle. I reach the nose tackle on an over defense. Now I'm working up to the Mike linebacker because I'm uncovered, basically, because there's a one technique to the weak side. Now, when I'm completely uncovered, that turns into another combination because now you're working with that right guard. One of you two have to come off. And when it's a 34 defense or a bear defense, all those things change, and all those things you have to know. Now, obviously, when you game plan, you expect four, five, or six different things. But when you're in training camp or you're in installation, you have to learn them all.
It's every possibility. And the whole thing for you is, and it's not just that, he's talking about whether somebody's directly over top of him, which would be a nose tackle, right? Or if somebody was shaded to your left, shaded to your, not, they're really still on you, but they're not really head up on you. They're shading to one side or whatever. That changes the whole play.
And that's nothing compared to what the quarterback needs to deal with, right, with different formations and now all different coverages. And a lot of times nowadays, the quarterback now points out the Mike linebacker or the responsibility for the offensive line. It wasn't that way back in the day because we used to do that, but now they like to do that because it really tells the wide receivers hot guy is.
Yeah, right.
A lot of times I wasn't pointing. I was just yelling numbers out, and then they figured out, okay, well, if they point out to who the Mike is, now they'll know if he comes or this other guy comes, then this you have to be hot. So there's a lot of different things that go on, and all that stuff needs to be put in. And the hard thing is, especially as a young guy, the verbiage, because it's like learning a new language. It's like signing up for Babbel. It's Spanish or Italian or German. They're all different languages because each coordinator has a different way that he calls plays and uses different words and different numbers and different sequences in order to get the play into the huddle.
Yeah, and this is why too, folks. If you you'll see a great young quarterback or a kid coming out of college or whatever. He's got all the tools. I mean, he's big, he's strong, he's fast. He's got a great arm. If he doesn't have a brain, he doesn't have a mind to be able to go through all this stuff and be able to absorb all this stuff. Then what happens? Then the offense coordinator and/or the head coach, whoever's running the offense, has to dumb down the plays. He can't absorb all this. Therefore, we have to do it a different way. We're going to have to, cut down the number of plays that we have in our repertoire in order to let this young quarterback try to figure out how the hell this works. And then we can go on from there and build from there. You get a smart quarterback who is big, strong, fast, agile, and has a great arm. You're way ahead of the game. That's why the Chiefs are way ahead of the game with Patrick Mahomes.
Right. The quarterback is so important, and the more you can put on the quarterback, the more that he can handle, the more that you can put in. The more that you can put in, the more pressure it puts on a defense. The more that you pressure put on defense, it puts more pressure on coordinators. And this game, the NFL, and I've said this a million times, I'll say it a million times more, if you want to know one thing that helps you win in the NFL, if you want to know one thing that will let you have success as a player, as a play caller, and as an organization and team, it's all about hesitation. If you can get the defensive player to hesitate because he's not quite sure what he's doing, or vice versa, if you can get the offensive player to hesitate by shifting and motioning and changing coverages or changing fronts, the hesitation is what kills you because everybody's really good in the NFL. Everybody can play the game. There's not going to be one guy that's soft. Listen, when you play in high school, even in college, you can find some weak points. There's not a lot of weak points in the NFL. So what you have to do is you have to outsmart people. And by outsmarting people, it's by putting the defensive lineman or the quarterback or the offensive lineman or the running back or linebackers, whoever, in a situation where they're not quite sure what they're doing, which causes hesitation. When you hesitate, you lose in the NFL.
Yeah, right. It just takes just a split second. I mean, it's just the guy looks at it, he's just not quite sure. And that's all you need. That's all you need in order to have a successful play.
I mean, just look at the Super Bowl. There was a hesitation by Garofalo on the one pass. And when he hesitated, it was picked off. It was as simple as that. He had to hesitate because he wasn't quite sure if that guy was going to, what he was going to do or what the defensive front was. And he kind of floated it. And there was an interception, won the Super Bowl. It's as simple as that. And really, every game, and I was just looking at it, and I actually gave Curtis some of my notes for a season, and Marty would say this all the time. There's about two or three plays in an NFL game that make the difference in a game. There's all these different plays going on, but there's about two or three plays, and you got to win those plays. You got to win those situations. And the only way to win those situations is to win the offseason, is to win the virtual offseason, is to win the summer camp offseason, is to win the installation for game days. It's to win by putting in better offenses and better defenses than the guys that are working on the other side against you. So it's about winning those two or three plays, and it's so important to do that. And this is when the Chiefs have had the success, and that's what I'm hoping they'll be able to do through this virtual stuff.
Yeah, and I can remember working at Channel 4 when Daron Cherry played safety for the Kansas City Chiefs. He would come in every Sunday night, and we'd do the play of the game. Right after, that was the same night to get, and he would pick out one play, and sometimes it'd be I'd think, wow, it's this play, had to be this play, and Drum would go back and he'd pick out a play, and then he would give you the reasoning behind why that was the play of the game and change the whole scenario for that particular NFL game. It was great. I mean, I learned so much from Daron during that period of time about professional football.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of chess. It's a lot of situational. If I make this move, then you have to make this move, and it's fun to watch. And that's why we try to do this show. And there's not a lot going on in football right now, so we're trying to get you a little bit behind the scenes, just some of the stuff that they're doing right now, and why it takes so much time, and why it's so important, and why when Andy Reid goes on there and says, "Hey, listen, you got to have eye contact. You can't be sleeping. Put the camera on." And it's so important because games are won and lost in these situations we're talking about right now. Okay, Frank, we're gonna take a break, and when we come back,
yeah, we're gonna have Jake Collins on. He is a former Green Beret. He's now head of Operation Barbecue Relief. We're gonna have to ask him how he got involved in all this. He is a seventh Special Forces Group, multiple deployments. He lost one of his legs below the knee, put a prosthetic on, and competed in the Invictus Games. I mean, this guy is an amazing person.
And an amazing organization.
And it's a great organization doing great things on a daily basis. Just recently served 120,000 meals in 13 days. And we're going to talk to him about Operation Barbecue Relief.
Can't wait. All right, you're listening to Crunch Time. All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. This is Tim Grunhart and Frank Bull. You are listening to 810 WHB here on a Wednesday night, a beautiful Wednesday night in Kansas City. It's going to get nicer and nicer. A little bit of rain tomorrow, but the weekend's going to be great. And I'll tell you what's great. There are people in this world, and there are organizations in this world that I am just in awe of. And Operation Barbecue is one of them. They've done such a wonderful job, not only here in Kansas City, but all over the country. And Frank, the next person that we're bringing on, I'm in awe of too. It's just amazing what he's done with his life and what he's done for Kansas City and the whole country.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can't wait to hear the backstory here. We're going to talk to Jared J. Collins. He's the chief of programs for Operation Barbecue Relief, but that is just scratching the surface. He's a former Green Beret, 7th Special Forces Group, multiple employments overseas. He's a wounded warrior, came back, did not let that slow him down, competed in the 2018 Invictus Games, and really has taken over the Operation Barbecue Relief. And I know he's not going to take any credit for it, but really just incredible. And Jay, we welcome you to the program tonight, and just thank you for everything that you're doing.
Man, thank you so much for having me on the show tonight. And, I'm a longtime fan of team sports, right? Grew up playing baseball, football, everything. Everything's a team sport, right? And we're only as strong as our weakest link, and we don't have a whole lot of weak links in OBR. We're very blessed to have a great team, and we're doing some great things across the country because of our team. So thank you for that.
Jay, did they find you or did you find them?
I think it was kind of a mutual thing. I was in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and getting ready to retire from the military, or get retired, if you will. It turns out that being a Green Beret is kind of a young person's game, and I was told that I was coming up on the end of my career and I needed to find something else to do, kind of, and Operation Barbecue Relief came in and they fed a few thousand people on Fort Bragg that were working with me. And we started talking about ways we could make a difference in the communities together. We started spitballing about things, and one thing led to another. And as I retired, you know, we started talking, and one thing led to another. And I came on to help build our non-disaster programs for Operation Barbecue Relief, what we now call our Always Serving Project.
Now, it's just amazing. I'm just going to read some stats for everybody out here. We're just going to talk about the COVID-19, but I know you guys go back a couple years, all the way back to Joplin and other things that you guys have done. Mm-hmm. But since the COVID-19 on March 23rd, you guys have, over the past 2 months, have provided over 3 million meals nationally. Over 150,000 meals in the Kansas City area. You've given 30,000 free meals out to Sporting KC to distribute to the community. You guys have done some great stuff with the Royals Charities. You have fed the Kansas City Police and the fire departments. You guys provided food throughout the country, feeding school children, frontline workers, homeless and veterans. And you guys are currently getting together and doing some unbelievable things with some golf tournaments and everything else. At 3 million meals, I mean, it's incredible what you guys have done over the last couple months. How did you get this thing organized?
You know, it's kind of a work in progress, right? We like to jokingly say that we put the wings on the airplane while we were taking off. you know, our standard approach was to roll out equipment, roll smoke, and throw out the world's best barbecue, right? That's what Kansas City is about. And unfortunately, the COVID-19 environment doesn't really lend itself to doing what we did. We couldn't set up a football field size footprint and bring in hundreds of volunteers. So we kind of did a pivot, and we thought about ways we could impact. So we thought about ways we could revitalize restaurants, and we built what's called Operation Restaurant Relief as part of OBR. So to date, we've brought back around 30 restaurants, brought back a couple hundred jobs, and as you can see, we've served about 3 million meals across the country by bringing out-of-work restaurants back online and giving them free product, having them create the meals and provide free meals to the community. It's been a real blessing, and you know, it's been amazing to hear just the stories from the restaurant employees and how excited they are to make a difference in their community. The power of neighbors helping neighbors and communities helping communities has just been amazing.
We're talking with Jay Collins. He's the chief of programs for Operation Barbecue Relief. And I know you work with barbecue teams, I know, in at least 8 states. So everybody is sort of scattered throughout the country to do this. Are they mostly southern states? Because, you know, we think of barbecue, we think a lot of Kansas City, which is not a southern state. But think of North Carolina, Texas, South Carolina, Georgia, you know, like states like that. Is that where most of this comes from, where most of these crews come from?
So we're actually across the entire country. We're doing meals out in California. We're talking to folks in Arizona. We're talking to folks in Colorado. We're doing a lot of meals out in Pennsylvania. We've done them in South Carolina, North Carolina. We're talking to folks in Virginia, Florida, Texas. There's opportunity everywhere. And it turns out that, you know, barbecue, it's really good in Kansas City. There's a few other states that might want to say they've got an edge as well, right? But barbecue is really about community, right? It's about bringing people together, and that's what we like to say. Barbecue is about the power of the one hot meal and how it affects that person, the way that person affects a family, and a family affects a community, and it's the power of the one hot meal that matters is really what we like to say.
All right, we're speaking with Jay Collins. Jay Collins is working with Operation Barbecue Relief and just doing an unbelievable job all over the country, not just here in Kansas City, but all over the country. First of all, talk to us a little bit about some of your sponsors. You guys got some unbelievable sponsors that have jumped on board, and then let us know how we can help you out, how people in Kansas City can give back to keep this great organization going.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are absolutely blessed to have amazing sponsors like Prairie Fresh. You know, we couldn't do what we do without them. Lowe's, Kingsford, Butterball, Yeti, Blue Rhino, just to name a few. You know, they've been there through thick and thin and made all of these things possible. We're so grateful for their short-term, long-term support. And, you know, it's nice to know they've had their back and they've been committed to making a difference across our country. And, you know, if you're interested in OBR, I would encourage you to go to our website at www.obr.org. Again, that's obr.org. You can donate if you want. You can register to become a volunteer, or you can do both, which is what I would highly encourage. OBR is a volunteer-centric organization. You know, we can only do what we do because of the power of volunteers, and we encourage people to join our ranks and make a difference across the country.
Now, hopefully we'll have a NASCAR race on after this show, but you guys could really field a great NASCAR uniform with all those unbelievable sponsors.
Oh, wow. That'd be amazing, right?
Yeah, I mean, we need an Operation Breakthrough car out here in Kansas City. We need to work on that and get all those great sponsors, because I know people here in Kansas City love you guys. So Jay, you guys, what's on the hopper? What are you guys looking forward to doing here? You know, things are starting to open up a little bit, and things are loosening up a little bit. What's kind of the next thing in line? What have you guys planned? What's on the agenda for here in the future, and not only in Kansas City but around the country?
Sure. So, you know, as things open up, you know, our traditional programs, if you will, you know, disaster season is coming up, right? Our bread and butter is we're going to be prepared for hurricane season. We've got our equipment ready. We've got our volunteers ready. And we're going to be ready if a hurricane or a tornado hits. We'll be there when the chips are down to provide hot meals to those in need. Our non-disaster programs, our Always Serving Project, is going to ramp back up with our barbecue basics, where we teach service members, veterans, first responders, and those in need how to cook meals, how to barbecue, how to create a healthy meal, and just learn the art and skill of barbecue. You know, it's a two-day workshop, and we kind of culminate that with, you know, a large-scale barbecue for people going through the workshop, their friends and families, and the community around them. You know, a few thousand people. It's kind of a nice thing. We're also looking to ramp up what we call Barbecue Basics Junior, which is aimed at eradicating the fight on hunger. We believe that the best way to get rid of the fight on hunger is to educate people, right? You can't get rid of hunger by throwing food at the problem. You have to educate to eradicate. So we're going to teach people how to prepare food, where food comes from, give them those hands-on cooking skills. Many of the problems with food sensitivity is that the kids don't know what they don't know. Their parents didn't know what they didn't know, and their grandparents didn't know what they didn't know. So we're going to teach them as a family unit how to prepare that. Kansas City is one of those communities we want to target to start this up. So look for that this fall. Lastly, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jay. I'm sorry.
And then, you know, as we roll into the spring, we're going to bring back our Breaking Bread Tour as well. Last year, we launched our Always Serving Project with our Breaking Bread Tour. You know, you mentioned I'm a wounded warrior. I'm a one-legged guy. Got some spare parts. You know, I bolt on and I ran a bike across the country feeding people barbecue like Johnny Appleseed. And we're going to do it again. We're going to try to do about 3,000 miles, you know, feed several thousand people, hopefully over 100,000 people, and go from west to east or north to south across America and connect, inspire, serve, educate, and feed those people in need, and try to bring people together, remind people how much we have in common. So those are the things we've got on the docket, and in the end, it's just, you know, making a difference across the country through the power of barbecue.
Talking with former Green Beret Jay Collins, who's heading up the Operation Barbecue and all the great things that they do. He is a 7th Special Forces Group, used to be with them, and multiple employments overseas. Wounded Warriors, I just told you, participated in the 2018 Invictus Games. And tell us a little bit, Jay, something happens, okay? We get a tornado, and we'll just relate here to the Midwest, like we had in, you know, we've had in Joplin, we've had in other areas. Where do they go immediately, and who do you, is it a localized thing where all these guys come from the other states and just pour into that area? Or how do you coordinate all this?
So we have a good amount of volunteers across the country. We have what's called our regional directors and our area coordinators that are embedded in local communities. So if a disaster happens, and a lot of those folks are embedded in Tornado Alley and in areas that are you know, habitually struck by hurricanes, they check out the area. They give us up-to-date information and relay the facts We check with what's called the VOAD, or Volunteer Organizations Active in Disaster, and get the facts, see what the needs are. And if there is a need for food on the ground in, what's called a mass feed need, where we can bring out our equipment and feed thousands of people and really, you know, make a difference in that community, then we do that. The key line here is that we don't want to get in the way of the community helping itself.
Right.
If the community can do that on their own, then we don't need to be there. That's really what this is about. But if the community can't do that, that's where OBR can come in, be a stopgap, make a difference. And then when the community is able to prop itself back up and take care of itself, that's when we step back and we go back to getting ourselves ready for the next thing we can do to make a difference. And that's what we pride ourselves on, you know. And we're happy and proud to be able to serve that way.
Well, Jay, thanks for all that you've done here in Kansas City and all you've done during this crazy virus that we're all dealing with. And we appreciate you coming on the show. And thank you for your service with the Green Berets, and thank you also for your service helping out the less fortunate and the sick in our country.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, guys, I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show, and appreciate your support of OBR, and appreciate what you do in Kansas City. You guys do great work, and I'm a huge fan, Tim. I think, if I recall, you were on the 88 Notre Dame team, right?
I was.
Tony Rice.
That's right.
I think you beat down USC, if I recall, right?
I did.
That's right.
All right.
Huge Notre Dame fan, so I appreciate that.
All right. That sounds awesome.
Thanks,
Jay. Thank you, brother.
Okay, folks, don't forget, if you want to donate, OBR.org. It's very easy. OBR.org. That's Operation Barbecue.
He's a Green Beret. He is
Operation. Tough guy.
They hired my daughter, who's working over there.
Oh,
and he's
now
a Notre Dame, he's a Notre Dame guy.
Now
anyone
I
else?
Got
All right, guys. Thank you so much once again. You've been listening to
Crunch Time.